October 14th, 2025. Welcome back to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, episode number 2 tonight. I am still your host, Don Brown, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home. I am joined again by the mighty Max Martinson, working from the comfort of his home in the Cream City there by the MATC campus. And Max is enjoying the aromas of his own creation, banana bread. And I didn't know we had a baker amongst us. It shouldn't surprise me now that I know that he is the son of a UP product, his dad, Corey. We learned in the last episode I was from Iron Mountain. So we must have a Uper get-together next time your dad's in town. Like, I'll take him over to my father-in-law's house and have some pasties and some homemade wine. You know, I think you'd really go for that.
So, I will say, I have been a baker for like 10 years now. Wow. I used to do baking in 4-H. So I've had stuff that's got like, that has won county fair before and been sent up to like state fair.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what I did that year, a tres leches cake.
No way.
So that one got nominated for state fair. So
that's great. And you know, and that should not be a lost art form. And I know there's been this kind of anti-bread kick, you know, but I love like fresh baked bread. Do you break bread at all?
Well, I got banana bread,
I know, but I just meant regular, like, you know, any different types of breads.
No, I usually go to, like, if I need, like, specialty bread, I'll usually go to, like, an actual bakery for it, because I'm not
You'll
one
go to
a
bakery, though. You won't go to, like, Woodman's or anything.
No. Like, I'm not one to work with, I'm not really one to, like, work with yeast, though. Like, it's just not my favorite thing to work with.
So. Okay, that's fair. Sure. So, but no, the other, the pastries you spoke of sounded rather lovely and delicious. So, any baking plans for Halloween?
Maybe not for Halloween, but definitely Thanksgiving. Okay. Might also do some stuff for my friends for Christmas. So I've been plotting a couple of things. So
nice. Yeah, and Halloween's on a Friday this year. So that'll make it interesting. That'll be there'll be some really trick or treating for the kiddos, and then late night for all the grown ups, I think, and the young at heart. So it should be an interesting Halloween this year. I haven't decided what I'm going to go as. Do you know what you're going to go as for Halloween, Max?
I haven't dressed up for Halloween since I've been like 9 years old, so.
Yeah, I mean, when the kids were little and I'd take them out, I'd try to muster something up. But usually we, you know, with our neighborhood's pretty active. So my wife and I, she makes like a great, she heats up apple cider and mixes it with like a caramel vodka. Makes a lovely little a drink there, and so we'll serve those to the grown-ups that are coming in while the kids are
for you guys, not the kids, right?
No, not for the kids, you know. But now they're going for a different kind of drug, you know, the all the wrapped candies in the cauldron out in the front. But while they're digging away at that, we serve cups of the recipe to the parents, you know, for as a reward for their efforts. So and it's neat to see our neighborhood just gets younger day by day. Our next door neighbors just had their second baby boy, their second in like 2 years, 2 or 3 years. So really excited for them. And, you know, when we first moved here in 2012, there was only one other family besides us that had kids on the street. Now it's just like, you know, we're like the last two with, kids in high school. Everyone else has like, you know, all these young families are popping up and, there are a few of the seniors left and who have some really wild stories about the history of this neighborhood. That's for another show, maybe for another rating. it's great to see the neighborhood getting younger and younger. And we look forward, you know, and so with that becomes a more vibrant, like Halloween, like celebration, seeing the kids in their costumes, as well as seeing the grownups come up with some creative things. So I'm thinking of going as one of the guys from one of my favorite new bands is called Kneecap. They're an Irish. They're from Northern Ireland, and they are a hip hop, an Irish hip hop. And most of the lyrics, most of the songs they do are in Gaelic. You know, these guys are fluent Gaelic Irish speakers from Northern Ireland, Catholics from like, I think from Belfast or Derry, like one of the real troubled cities where there's still, you know, tensions. years later, in spite of all the progress of the Good Friday agreement. But it leads to another subject too, is that this week, just a couple of days ago, there were many that celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day here in America to honor the culture and heritage of many of our different Native American and First Nation brethren. And I saw some pretty interesting observances. Another one of my favorite musicians is a young woman named Ray Zaragoza, who's actually, she's Mexican on her father's side and Japanese on her mother's side. You know, she embraces both heritages, but still, like I said, but very proud of her her native. Yeah, when I say Mexican, I also mean Mexican Native American. And she got to participate in some. I was kind of following her around on social media. She was participating in a couple different concerts in honor of Indigenous people celebration. And I think it's obviously because yesterday, Monday the 13th was the federal holiday that's still observed, Columbus Day. That's just people, you know, sometimes you forget why you don't get your mail on that day, and it still is a federal holiday, Columbus Day. And and so I think there's been a movement to maybe get away from that and instead recognize Indigenous peoples. So that's a debate or a story for another time, but it is, you know, as the seasons change, so do some of our cultural observations, and that is one of them. And in spite of what's going on at the federal level with this kind of war on inclusion, and you know, just one of the pillars of what makes America great, it's just, you know, that in spite of all that, that there are people going out there and doing stuff for Indigenous Americans and having meaningful celebrations. And so it's another kind of new wrinkle for us that isn't part of the fall is just seeing the troops being sent by our president to some of our most American cities, like Chicago, which I still can't believe. And Jimmy Kimmel, you know, another favorite of MAGA, he had on a show, he was using Trump's words, saying that these cities were hell holes or hell zones, or I forget the term, but that there was violence going on. And they interviewed some guy out in Portland, and there's like big, like stuffed animal people doing dances around the soldiers and some people giving them flowers and everything, you know, the protesters. And then they come to Chicago and they're interviewing Governor J.B. Pritzker. And it was, you know, when they were interviewing him, it was right when the Cubs were in town, or the Dodgers, or the, excuse me, Dodgers, the Brewers were in town playing the Cubs in those two games in the divisional series. And Governor Pritzker was talking about how Chicago is being invaded by Milwaukee Brewer fans, people that were, quote unquote, putting ketchup on their hot dogs, which I don't know if you know this, Max, but it is a huge no-no in Chicago. And I lived in Chicago long enough that I embrace that. There should be a law against putting ketchup on hot dogs. And why? Because there are sugars in the hot dogs that don't merit the need for ketchup. Slap some mustard on there, some onions, raw onions, or fried onions, whatever you want, but no ketchup on your hot dogs. Is that understood, Max? Can you live with that?
I can live with it. Me personally, I do enjoy ketchup and onion on my hot dogs. That's like, I can't do mustard at all.
Oh, mustard is the spice of life, man.
I can't stand it, dude.
Really? Not even on a hot dog, huh?
Nope. Even wow. on like sandwiches and stuff, unless it's like, or like a burger, unless it's like covered up by like a million other flavors, I just can't.
Yeah. So like ketchup and mustard on a burger is fine. And like ketchup on a burger is a definite must. Like that, those two belong together, but not a hot dog. And like I said, whereas like mustard on a hot dog, I think is great. Especially, like I said, if you do add like some onions, or even some, like if you do a chili dog with mustard is good. Maybe some cheese.
Chili dog I would do mustard on, just because there's enough other stuff on there to make it not as like pungent. But
and they complement each other well. So, so speaking of fall though, it's like, okay, now that we have an actual fall as of, was it this week or last week, we finally started getting weather in the 50s or 60s. What are some of your favorite comfort foods of the season besides banana bread that you're taking with on your trip?
I mean, I'm not like, I guess I wouldn't necessarily say I have any classics except for chicken and dumplings. That is like one of my favorite.
My wife just made that.
Yeah, like as she should, because that is one of my
recipe of her mother's that was really good too.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite, like, just not even just favorite fall things, just like favorite foods of all time. It's so good.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's one of those, obviously, what's great about the fall is what you make in the fall just carries over into the winter.
Oh yeah,
the colder it gets. And yeah, but when the kids were little, we would do like two Halloween celebrations, like the one in Waukesha, it's always the 31st, come hell or high water. And then in New Berlin, it's always the Sunday that's closest to Halloween. So like this year, I don't know for sure, this year it could very well be November 2nd, because Halloween's on a Friday night, the 31st. Or it could be that previous Sunday. I forget which one it is, but that's the time they do it every year without fail. And so we would take the kids over to their grandparents' house in New Berlin. And their neighborhood too. It was great. They're like pockets of the neighborhood where they have like some really fun little social gatherings, or they're giving out like adult beverages for the parents and stuff. And it's fun. It's a really great, but we finish up, we would go back to the grandparents' house, and my mother-in-law always made this really good chili. It was like, might be the best chili I ever had. And especially because most years, Halloween is cold. It's brisk. Sometimes colder than you want it to. I mean, in Waukesha, we remember when we had snow. Out of the last 5 years, there were two Halloweens that had snow. And that was brutal. But like I said, you know, coming back that, you know, to that chili when we would do Halloween in New Berlin, that was always a great, that was definitely a rite of the season, something we always look forward to and enjoy very much, especially after freezing your buns off, walking the kids around with the trick-or-treats. So, and they don't care how cold it is. I mean, they're just so excited getting bags full of candy. And I guess that doesn't get old either, because we end up taking our share out of the bags. So, and then when we start stockpiling for the trick-or-treaters come to the house, same thing. There's always a nice stash left over for mom and dad and the grown-up kids that are here to enjoy. So it's, it's an exciting time. Hey, I also want to mention too is, this week is Banned Books Week at the library. It's something former Mayor Larry Nelson puts together. And I think that's a great, and I don't know if that's been going on every year, but it certainly is more meaningful in light of what is going on around the U.S. with MAGA and with this assault on our American way of life, really, and our freedoms and our rights. And I encourage everybody, if this podcast gets out in time, to check out Banned Books Week, or put it on your calendar every year. But there's readings and there's book releases. It's always fun. It was something, when Larry was mayor too, he had gotten some, I think some federal funding, some grants to fund books that, basically are given away to people that read them. And then when they're done, they share them with other people. There are people that love reading, and I think there are people that could be taught to love reading. And, I know it's a lot to compete with all the social media we're playing with, but I think it's I was talking to a young woman at one of my clients, and I asked her how her weekend was, and she said she got through one of her books. I'm like, what are you reading? And she's reading An Interview with the Vampire. I didn't realize it was a whole series. There was like 13 books. I just thought there was the one book that they made the movie with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. So but yeah, she loves it and she's into it. And I think that's it, is it, you know, whatever the genre is, it doesn't matter. The important thing is just getting young people out there to read. And I mean, people of all ages, really. It's I think, unfortunately, we, and I'm very guilty of this, we look towards TV or our cell phone to fill in the down moments, the voids. And, you know, that's what we should do once in a while, Max, or maybe their second episodes is kind of take on the, NPR does that chapter a day. I forget, they still do it at lunchtime. I used to love listening to that when I was driving a lot. Especially if it was books that I'd read before too, that made it, it was fun to revisit and hear, like to recall things that you didn't quite remember reading it the first time. I thought that was terrific. So, but, I know you gave me the 5 minute mark a few minutes ago, and I want to encourage everyone to tune in for next week's podcast, because my guest will be, Bev Anderson, a 30-year early education, early childhood educator and executive director of the Ebenezer Child Care. And she opened a new location in Waukesha County. And back in August, she held a professional development day last August 28th at the Elm Grove Women's Club to learn and discuss the state of child care in the area and share the hopes for the coming school year, especially in light of, well, since that time, we know there's been a government shutdown. And so it'll be a great opportunity for Bev to weigh in and assess what the impact has been for families and for the child care profession. And so I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a great Monday night when we get together before you take off on your camping trip. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing some research and preparation of that event. So, but yeah, in our final few minutes here, unfortunately, every time I look up, the Brewers are losing by more. It's now 4-1. And, hopefully we can, someday this will be in the archives and we'll be able to laugh at it, because the Brewers come back from like a 3-game deficit, like the Red Sox did against the Yankees and won it, or just did something to come back in a dramatic fashion. I think that could be, that could really be something. And, you know, it's been such a great year for the Brewers. And I'd say that their story's not over yet. There's a lot more to be written. And, it's neat though, the number of friends that have been able to go to these games too, because they're certainly not cheap. One guy I know from a client relationship, got a call from his son, had free tickets for, I think it was game 2 of the Cubs series. Those free tickets and free parking, and luckily he had no plans that night. So yeah, I'm going, you know, and even if he did, he's like, well, I'm going to the Brewers playoffs with my son. But it is, either way, it's a blessing to continue playing baseball for real and fall and have a chance to go all the way. And like I said, keep hope alive. It is the Brew Crew. They're average Joes that are, as their manager Pat Murphy says, are really above average Joes. And so I still have a lot of faith in what can happen. I also, after the Brewers lost to the Cubs, I'm guessing it was, I don't know if it was game 3 or game 4, but I tuned in for, it was the Phillies at the Dodgers, and Phillies are facing elimination, and they rattled off like 5 runs in one inning. And I basically watched, you know, they're up 3-1, and then it became like 8-1, and just watched the Dodgers, it was that Clayton Kershaw gave up like 2 or 3 home runs in that inning, and also the defense just like fell apart. And this is the mighty Dodgers. This is, you know, like I said, a team that's really, they play a really great brand of baseball. We learned that last year when they beat the Yankees in the World Series in 5 games. And but they're human, and baseball is such a streaky sport. There's so much psychology as well as superstition. I mean, there's just a lot of like crazy things that can happen. And so, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the Brewers can do to hopefully maybe save this second game or go out and wreak some vengeance out there in Chavez Ravine when they take out the Dodgers, when they take on the Dodgers out there on the left coast. I'm still very hopeful. And that's it, is you can't give up. And that's what makes fall so special, especially with all the other things we have going on with our kids in sports and with our high schools competing. There's just so much to catch up on. And so when we reconvene next week, I want to kind of give you a recap of what's happened in Waukesha High School sports and highlight some heroes and some great stories. And don't forget, yeah, Bev Anderson from Ebenezer Child Care will be my guest. And so that's all I have for now. I want to thank everybody for hearing me out. And yeah, I'm sure you'll be enjoying this a couple of days after. Well, let's see what the Brewers do. I don't want to cast any aspersions. You know, go Brewers and go Packers. You know, they're back on their winning ways. And again, I want to thank everyone for making this Week in Waukesha part of your lives. And if you have a story to tell, we want to hear it. So again, please reach out to me or to Max. You know how to find us. And please remember, especially as we're approaching Halloween and we're preparing for Halloween, safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go to Mila Mahagav, go there, and see ya!